thank you for your power that is already in this place. We thank you for what you are also going to do in our lives. Thank you for the shift that is going to take place in our lives. We thank you for destinies that are going to be unraveled. And Lord, we thank you for places that are going to be secured in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, take your seats. This morning we are going to pray. We are going to pray, but I want to share something. Then, after that, we'll pray. I'm speaking on what I call what is written is written. What is written. And it's from John chapter 19, verse 22. When Jesus was crucified and he was on the cross, they wrote something and nailed it to the cross. And what they wrote was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And when the chief priests saw what had been written, they were a bit agitated. So they went to Pilate and asked Pilate to change the inscription from Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, to he said he was the King of the Jews. And Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. What I have written, I have written. Now, everything about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ was for us. Everything that he did on the cross, he did for us. When he hung on the cross, it was for our sake. When he was beaten, it was for our sake. When he died, it was for our sake. When he was raised from the dead, it was for our sake. So everything that happened on the cross, everything he went through for us. There was not a single thing that he did for himself. All that he achieved by going to the cross was credited to our account. Therefore, as believers, we must know what came as a result of his death, burial, and resurrection, and we must apply it to our lives. And when we see that we are not seeing it in our lives, we must enforce what has already been accomplished. Now, one thing that Jesus did for us, one very important thing that he did for us was that he gave us a will document. You know, when somebody dies and the person wrote a will before he died, the will of the person is read, and the will of the person shows how his property must be shared. Now, the Bible says that Jesus also gave us a will. He gave us a will. The will was already established. It was already there. Then he came to die, because for as long as the one who wrote the will is alive, the will cannot be enforced. But as soon as the person who wrote the will dies, then the will can be used. So the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16, that Jesus Christ left us a will. And he left us a will so that we will benefit directly from his death, burial, and resurrection. And so anytime you are challenged, you go to the will. You go to the will and then ensure that you get your portion. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16. It says, for where there is a testament, the word testament there means a will document, or something that somebody has left behind when he died, a written document or an agreement or something like that, a contract that somebody has left behind, you know, after that. He said, for where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and goats with water, scarlet, wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God had commanded you." Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Now, what the Bible is saying is that when somebody writes a will, it is necessary for the person to die before the will comes into force, comes into effect. Now, Jesus had a will, God had a will, and Jesus Christ came to die so that the will can now be effected, can now take place, can now start, can now be activated. So, the reason why he came to die was for the will to be activated. Because he said, for as long as the testator is alive, the will has no meaning. But thank God, our testator, he died and is still alive. You know, he died to activate the will, and he rose from the dead to ensure that the will is really, really enforced. Like somebody dies and the person, you know, leaves a will for the family. And when the person dies, the family maybe cannot have access to the will and all that. So the family suffers and all that. But this person, it's true that he died. But after death, he rose from the dead so that he himself can ensure that the will that he wrote is being implemented. Hallelujah. So as believers, we have the will document of the Father. And this full document, it has been written. You see, there's a difference between something that has been said and something that has been written. When something is written, it becomes more permanent. When something is said, you know, when something is said, in the olden days, when the king said something, and that thing was to be a law, it was written down. So they would say, so let it be written, so let it be done. It was decreed, and it was written down. And nobody could change what had been written. It will be written, and the king will put his ring as a seal on the document, and the document becomes valid. And it becomes permanent. Nobody can change it. That is why when Darius was deceived to make a law that nobody should pray to any god apart from the king for 1 month, and then he made a decree, and he signed a decree with his ring. And later realized that Daniel had fallen victim to the law and wanted to free Daniel, but he couldn't because of the decree. In the same way, what has been written, it has been written. So the most important thing is to know what is written. We have something we call communique. A communique is a document that has been issued when there is war and the war comes to an end. They issue a communique. And the communique is a document that has been issued after all the parties involved came to an agreement. So the document is binding on all parties involved. And anybody who tries to go against what has been generally agreed, that person is dealt with because he is going against something that has been written. Anything that is written carries weight. And thank God, Jesus Christ didn't only say he wrote. He made sure it was written so that we could also come and take the document and read and know what he has done for us. I had a story of a man who died and left a will, but he had 3 children. He had 3 children. Then he died. Now when he died, his elder brother came to the house and ejected the wife and the children from the house. And the wife and the children were miserable, and, you know, they were homeless and poor, and even what to eat was a problem. But the man had left a will. But the problem was that they didn't know. So the lawyer of the man came and said, look, this house that you have even been ejected from, this house belongs to you. So they battled it in court, and finally the house came into their possession. Now, the man had three children. The firstborn was not on good terms with his father, so he didn't bother about the will. He was not on good terms with his father, and so none of the things that was written in the will even mattered to him. He wasn't on good terms with the father. He didn't know the father had a will. He didn't bother to find out what the will was. The second born also didn't go to school, so he couldn't read the will. So even though the will stated that this house belongs to him, or that thing belongs to him, he didn't know because he couldn't read. Now the third born was too young to be bothered by wills and documents. He was still young, still a child. And so he couldn't understand all these things about a will or a document and the fact that the document is spelling out what belongs to me and all that. Now, these are the three reasons why believers, we are not able to access the Father's will. The first one is that we are out of fellowship with the Father. The second one is that we are ignorant of what the Father has already done. And the third one is immaturity. These three things can prevent a believer from living a full life. These three things can prevent a believer from laying hold of what God has already given to him. Because the will document is there. And the good news is that both the devil and his agents and God, they know what happened. And the communique has been issued to the extent that Satan cannot argue with what is written. The only thing that he fears is it is written. When he came to Jesus Christ and was tempting Jesus, the only reply he gave Satan was, it is written. When he was able to tell him or quote to him what was written, the devil left him. Because what is written is written. What is written is written. What is written is valid. So we need to know what is written. We need to know what Jesus did and how it has been written so that we will be secure. Otherwise, the house will belong to you, but you'll be rejected. The reason why, you know, the role that sin plays in our lives is sin stops us from enjoying God's blessing. Now, sin doesn't stop God from blessing you, but it stops you from enjoying God's blessing. So, God will bless you. God is your Father. He loves you. And whether you live holy or not, God loves you. But the problem is that when you live in sin, your eyes are blinded and you cannot even see God's provision for your life. You cannot see God's purpose for your life clearly. You can miss his plans for your life, even though he loves you. The guy who was out of fellowship with the Father, he had access to the property, but he didn't know because he was not on good terms with the Father. That is why the Bible tells us that we must walk as he is. We must always be on good terms with him. Anytime a believer falls into sin, what happens is that your fellowship with God is broken, even though your relationship is intact. When fellowship is broken, what happens is that you don't have the boldness to even assess what is yours. So make sure the fellowship is intact. How do we make sure it's intact? By repentance. Genuine, heartfelt repentance. Confessing your sins. When you fall short, you confess. You go before God and confess and repent. Then the fellowship is restored. Then what is rightfully yours, you can access it. You will never know the will of God for your life if you are not on good terms with the Father. God has good plans for your life, but you may not be able to assess it because you are not on good terms with the Father. Now, the second thing is ignorance. If you don't know what has been done for you, you can never walk in it. In the kingdom of God, it is not automatic. It is what you know. It is what you know that you possess. It is what you know that you get. The degree to which you understand what has been done for you is a degree to which you possess what has been already given to you. So knowledge is important. know what Jesus came to accomplish and what is in it for you, what he left for you in the will. Then hold the will and use the will, you know, as your trump card against the devil. When the devil comes, you challenge the devil with the will, not with your mind. You challenge him with the will, with the document that Jesus has left, that look, this is the will. Jesus left a will, and this is the will. I know what is in the will for me. I know what is rightfully mine. That is why the Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. I don't know if you say faith is a title deed. A title deed, you see, a title deed is when the will is read in court and it has been challenged, and the court has legally given it to you. It becomes a title deed. The will document is a deed. A deed is a document that is showing the intentions of the one who wrote it. That give my house at Techiman to Akosua, give my house in Accra to Kwesi. That is the deed. But the deed can be challenged. When it is challenged and it goes to court, and the court certifies that, look, indeed, this is Kwesi and the house in Accra belongs to him, it becomes the title deed. That is when it becomes valid. So even though the document is there, we may not be benefiting from the document because we don't know. There are a lot of Christians who are ignorant. Ignorant of what Jesus has done for us. To the extent that the devil is able to cheat us from what rightfully belongs to us. Because we are ignorant. We have become a kingdom of ignorant kings. Wearing a crown, but being ignorant of what the crown stands for. You see, wearing a crown doesn't make you a king. It is knowing what the crown stands for that makes you a king. When the devil sees you, he knows whether you know that you know that you know that this is yours. Do you know why sometimes we lose our healing? Because we don't know that it is ours. Do you know sometimes why we lose blessings of God? Because we don't know that it's ours. The devil will come to challenge the will. But you must hold the will document and tell them that, look, it is written. This is what he has said. It has been written and it is mine. And you stand your ground. You stand your ground and you defend what you have been given. That is the Christian life. But a lot of times when the devil comes, all that we do is that we run from the devil. And the devil knows, the communicator said that, look, this guy has been defeated and everything about him, his armor has been taken away. And he has no power over the believer. But why is it that the devil keeps on winning? Or so it may seem. It's because we don't know. The one who ejected the guy, the woman and her three children was the elder brother of the man. He came into the house and he ejected them from the house. But the house belonged to them. So what you don't know, you cannot possess. In the kingdom of God, revelation leads to possession. The difference between Christians is understanding the revelation. That is why it's very important to listen to the word of God. Very important to study the Bible. Very important to open your heart and receive the word. So that you know what has been written and you will not be cheated out of it. Otherwise, you can be a Christian and still be tormented by the devil. Even though that is not what is written in the world. What is written is already written. It is written and it is written. Now, let me show you what is in the world document. What Jesus Christ came to die. There are seven things that sum up everything about Jesus and the cross. And everything about what God will give to mankind. Seven things. These seven things, each one of them is like a container with many other things in it. So if you take one, you open it, you see several other things. It's two-packed. Now, come to Revelation. Revelation chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 12. Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. It says, okay, let me read from verse 11 so that you get it in context. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Hallelujah. 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 Are you sleeping? If you sleep, I also sleep. It says, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive." The reason why he was slain was to receive. And like I said, whatever he received, he turned and gave it to the church. He didn't receive anything for himself. And because he came to represent us as man, so whatever he died to receive, he received and credited it into our account. And he wrote it in the will. He said, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive." He was skilled to receive. That is why Bible says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. The joy was the things he was going to receive. Now, listen. When God created Adam, God gave Adam only 2 out of the 7. Only 2. Look at even Adam. Look at what Adam was able to do with only 2. God gave Adam only 2 out of the 7. Come to Psalm 8. Psalm 8. I want to show you something. David was talking about man and what God has done for man. And even that one, David was at a loss, for words to describe. It was so glorious to him. But even that one was just 2 out of the 7. Psalm 8, verse 3. It says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor." Crown him with what? Glory and honor. But what did Jesus receive? He received power, riches, strength, glory, honor, blessing, wisdom. So, the first Adam received glory and honor, but the last Adam received 7, the sevenfold. 7 is the number for perfection and completeness. So, this is the complete picture of God's blessing. And like I said, if I start going into then one after the other, you will see that everything in the Bible, every blessing you can think of is contained in this. Which means that just when Jesus Christ said, "It is finished," what he was saying was that what Adam only attained to, now I have achieved all for man. So as far as God is concerned, man has now access to all the full manifestation of God's glory, of God's 7 is a number for perfection, a number for completeness. 7 spirits of God, the sevenfold manifestation of the Holy Ghost is 7. Word of God has 7 seals. God used 7 days in the creation. 7 is a number of completeness. He said, on the 7th day, God finished and rested. 7. Now it says that the Lamb was slain to receive these things, which means that the benefit we have from the cross is these things. It is ours. And when you know that it's yours, then when you see that you are not seeing them, then you can take the will document and begin to pray. And begin to challenge the devil. Because the Lamb was slain to receive these things. He didn't receive them for himself. Every one of them, he turned over and gave to the church. Every one of them. Now it says, power. What is power? What is power? Power is power. Power means supernatural ability to effect a change. So he received power. What did he tell us? He said, behold, I give you power to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy. He received what? Power. And then he turned and gave the power to us. So the Bible says he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, far above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. Why? Because he was led to receive power. So he has received power and he has given power to the church. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Are you not excited? Are you not happy? Power has been given to us. When the devil is misbehaving, you have every right to get up and say, shut up! You shut your mouth. And when he knows that you know what is written, then he will flee from you. He said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Power. Anointing is in power. Anointing is the word. It's in power. You see, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Now, why did the Bible say with the Holy Ghost? Why add power? Because you see, the Holy Ghost himself, he has sevenfold expression. One of them is might. So apart from receiving the Holy Ghost, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, then he said, verse 24, he said that Jesus Christ, the power and the wisdom of God. So, we don't pray to God for power. We don't pray for power. We manifest power. Yeah, we don't pray for, because Jesus was slain to receive. And he has given to us. So we don't pray that give me power. He has already given you power. We only get revelation about the power we have and we manifest it. If only you can take him at his word and believe that it is the document that power is yours, you can get up and declare something in your school and it will be established. You can get up and say something in your family and it will be established. The only problem is that we don't know that he has given us power. We don't know. So we have been given the weapon, but we are not using the weapon because either we don't know. Because we don't know what the weapon is for. So the devil is always like, if I had what these guys have, the things I would do. If I had what these guys have. That is what Satan is saying all the time. That these guys, if I had what they have, the things I would do. Because they have something but they don't know. So he was slain to receive power. Then he was slain to receive what else? What's the next thing? What's the next thing? What? Wealth. Is it wealth? No, it's not wealth, it's riches. Riches. The word riches, rich means full supply, means abundance. Now, the word rich in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, is not really about wealth or money. Money is also inside, but this one is referring to the unsearchable virtues of God. Things that money cannot buy. Jesus died to receive riches. Money is just a tiny aspect of riches. Because money doesn't answer all, as we read in Ecclesiastes. What he said was that money answers some things. He mentioned something, he said, money answers all these things. But he didn't say money answers all there is to life. Because money can buy a bed, it cannot buy what? Sleep. It can buy medicine, it cannot buy health. It can buy makeup, it can buy beauty. So money cannot answer all. But riches, talking about things that money cannot buy. Money cannot buy peace. We have access to peace. We have access to joy. We have access to grace. He said, the riches of his grace, the riches of his mercy, the riches of his glory. He said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Riches in glory. You see, he said, but you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. The rich there means that, you know, have you heard this saying before? That the food is rich. What does it mean? It means all the ingredients are in the food. It means the food is rich. In those days when we were in school, when we used to do gari soaking, we had some terms, you know, like this one, the soaking is rich. This one is ropi. If it is gari and sugar and no milk, we call it ropi. Ropi. What do you call it? Ropocho. Yeah, we call it ropi. And then rich. Rich means that milk. And so, no, the milk had to be more than the gari and the sugar. Or gari and beans. We call the one, if the gari is more than the beans, we call it eto. And if the beans is more than the gari, said it's rich. So, riches, he died to receive riches. And he gave us assets. Paul said, he has appointed me to preach what is the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable. Money cannot buy it. Do you know what peace people are looking for that they don't have? Many people have money, they don't have peace. But the believer has access to peace. Peace that doesn't make sense. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your heart and mind. The peace of God, which doesn't make sense, which defies all logic. Because what you are going through, you should break down and you should even commit suicide. But there is something that is keeping you. There's a peace that goes beyond logic and understanding that is keeping you. Do you know why Japan, with all their advancement and all their money, they have the highest suicide rate in the world? Japan. They have the highest suicide rate in the world. People say that, oh, they are not even Christians, and look at their development. But check the suicide. Because anytime a person commits suicide, what it means is that he couldn't exercise dominion over life. These are riches. Riches. Bible said that you are poor in love. But the believer has access to love. Love that is so strong to overcome every rejection. These are riches, things that money cannot buy. So when somebody says, I wish you things that money cannot buy, that is better than things that money can buy. There are things money cannot buy. But those things, Jesus was slain to receive them. And we have access to those things. Never allow yourself to be confused, because you have access to peace of mind. Never allow yourself to go through depression, because you have access to peace, perfect peace. The devil has cheated you if he's able to convince you to go into mental torture and depression. There are some Christians who can even end up in asylum. That is why whenever you are getting confused, you start praying in tongues. Whenever things don't seem clear and you don't know what to do and you are confused, start praying in tongues. Whenever you are afraid, because you see, when you pray, the Bible said that he that prays in tongues edifies himself. The word edify is the word, come from the word edifice, which means a building, to build. So as you pray in tongues, you are building your inner man. You are increasing your inner capacity to handle things. Because we have it in us. He has given it to us. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. Are you here? Are you here? He has given us power and riches. Rich. Glory. I said that all these seven things, each one of them is fully loaded. Each one of them is loaded. In fact, it's loaded dead. As somebody said, loaded dead. Because if you take power alone, power is too loaded. It's too loaded. Even in the Bible, we have several kinds of power. We have Iskus power. We have Dunamis power. We have Kratos power. Then we have Exousia power. We have power that we call Iskus. Kratos. Iskus, Kratos, Dunamis, Exousia. That could be somebody's tongues. Iskus power. You see, there's a kind of power that is potential, that is potent power, latent power. That one is the Iskus power. You don't need to make noise to be powerful. You see, acid doesn't make noise. But acid, when you touch acid, you will see that you have touched acid. But acid will look like water. Cool. That is Iskus power. That power is released when you are provoked. When your spirit is troubled, not provoked by somebody who steps on your toes, but provoked by the devil. When you see things going awry, things going haywire, things going bad, and you are provoked, that is when Iskus power is released. Because it's latent, it's potential, it's latent, it's quiet, but it is there. Now, Kratos power is power that comes and affects communities. Power that affects more than you, affect people around you. That is Kratos power. Then we have Dunamis power, explosive power. That one, it makes noise. That one is explosive. That is the power that can uproot roots, deep-seated problems. Dunamis power can uproot family problems. You see, you alone in the family is enough to cause the change. Do you believe that? Only you and you alone in the family is enough to cause a change in the family. The prayers you are praying that you think are little prayers, you don't know what the prayers are doing. If you were not praying, things would be different. So, power and riches. What is the third one? What is the third one? Wisdom. Wisdom is also very loaded. Very, very loaded. In fact, wisdom has 7 pillars. Yes. 7 pillars of wisdom. Wisdom has, but apart from the 7 pillars, it is too loaded. From 2012, I've been praying 7 prayer topics. From 2012, 7 prayer topics. I've been praying consistently. Wisdom, one of the pillars of wisdom is knowledge, understanding, prudence, discernment. Counsel. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, discernment, prudence, counsel, discretion. These are the 7 pillars. And wisdom is loaded. In fact, Bible says that with all you're getting, it's again understanding. He said, wisdom is the principal thing, and with all you're getting, get understanding. But wisdom is the principal thing. If you get the principal thing, you become a principality. Yes. You become a principality because the word principality comes from the word prince. And the word prince means first ruler. So wisdom is the first ruler, the principal thing. He said, by me, princes, kings, they reign. Let me just talk to you about wisdom. Let me come to Proverbs. Let me read just a little bit about wisdom in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Okay, no, 3 verse 13 downwards. Listen, look at the things that are in wisdom. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. You see, wisdom is she in the Bible. Wisdom is she. Oh, I thought the ladies would be happy. Wisdom is she. That is why we always say, Yekubusa Abrewa, Yenkase Yekubusa Kokra. Because wisdom is she. Now, it says, but you know, strength is he. Verse 15. She is more precious than rubies. And all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand. In her left hand, riches and honor. Wow. Length of days, long life. See, I've said that all the blessings of God, they are summed up in these seven blessings. He said length of days means that long life is in wisdom. Verse 17. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. So you see, the tree of life that Adam failed to eat in the garden. If he had eaten the tree of life, he would have embraced all these lessons. But because he didn't eat, he had only two, glory and honor. But he didn't have the wisdom. But the wisdom came in the person of Jesus. And we have access to it. You see, the tree of life, if you read Proverbs, you will come across about four things that the Bible describes as tree of life. About four things in Proverbs. One of them is wisdom. One of them is a desire fulfilled. One of them is the fruits of righteousness, which is money. The fruits of righteousness. And if you study it, you see that when the Bible says the fruits of righteousness, talking about money, it's so amazing. But I'm not talking about that. So, but now it says it is a tree of life. Verse 19. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. He said God founded the earth by wisdom. Meaning this, which means that wisdom is needed for foundational issues. Wisdom is needed for foundational issues. When we say the Lord founded it, when God started everything from the scratch, it was wisdom that he used to lay the foundation of the earth. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning means at the foundation, at the starting point. That is why if you embrace wisdom, your life will always be ahead of your peers. Because your decisions are going to be above your age mates. The way you think, it will be above your age mates. Because wisdom always deals with foundation. It says, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Beginnings. Okay. Let me continue. Verse 21. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. You see, he has mentioned another brother or sister to wisdom. Discretion. Discretion is the ability to know what to use to do what. You see, knowledge is when you have facts, that is knowledge. Understanding, let me give you a quick example. Let's say there are two doors here. You want to enter the room. Knowledge is knowing that I need a key to enter the room. That is knowledge. You know that the room is locked. You need keys. That is knowledge. Now, understanding is that key A will open door A. This key will open this door. That is understanding. Now, wisdom actually is putting the key in the keyhole and turning it. That is why there are many people who have knowledge but don't have wisdom. Because somebody can know that if I smoke, it's going to affect my heart. And the person may be a doctor, but the person cannot stop smoking. That is knowledge minus wisdom. And by the way, wisdom is not a set of facts. Wisdom is a person. He is a tree of life. He is a person. When you encounter the person, you have wisdom. That is why the Bible says, if anyone lacks wisdom, he didn't say when, he said if. Which means that it is not normal for the believer to lack wisdom. But says, so if you lack wisdom, if, ask. Because Christ has been made wisdom unto us. So, we have wisdom. And And this wisdom carries many things. Length of days and all that. Now, come to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Have you seen prudence? And find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine. Have you seen counsel? And sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Strength to is in wisdom. By me, kings reign, and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule, and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Wisdom says she loves those who love her. Which means that those who don't love her, she doesn't love them. Verse 18. Riches and honor are with me. Enduring riches and righteousness. You see, people think that you cannot be rich and righteous at the same time. But it says wisdom can bring riches and righteousness. Wisdom. Riches and righteousness. He said, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold. Yes, than fine gold. And my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth. You see, wealth is also in wisdom. That I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters will not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was dealing his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Now, this one I was talking about Jesus. He is wisdom. And the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He said, the same was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him, and nothing was made without him. That was Jesus being described in Proverbs 8 as wisdom. He said, before God laid the foundation, I was beside him. He said, before he hung the clouds in the sky, I was beside him. Before he marked the foundation, he did a profile of the earth. I was beside him. He said, before he laid the depths, before he commanded the sea to know its limit. Do you know that the reason why the sea comes and then gets to a point and then stops is because God has placed a limit. That this is how far you can go. Sometimes they become stubborn and then they go beyond their bounds. That's what causes tsunami and all that. Because we, mankind, we have shifted from our place. So they are supposed to become stubborn. But it is God who placed the limit. God spoke to the sun and said, look, when it is this time, you must come up, come out. When it is this time, you must go back and sleep. And all of them, they know. And it was wisdom that was beside God. It was Jesus, the Word. At that time, he was the Word. He was wisdom beside the Father. He said, I was telling his delight. He said that the Father's delight was the Word. That is why he wanted to make more people, many people, after the image of the Word. Because he said, my delight was in the sons of men. So wisdom too is a very big thing that contains many things. Length of life, honor, pleasantness. I mean, think of it. So everything that God has given us, you can find it in these sevenfold glory, sevenfold blessing. Even glory itself is a whole lot. It's a whole lot. I mean, I can't even finish. Let me see if I can continue. Chapter 5, Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. And strength. Where is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength? Now, strength is talking about health. Strength talking about health. Health is written in the document. It is the believer's portion. So when you are sick, you see, when you are sick, you have access to healing. But you can also have access to divine health to the extent that you will not fall sick. That is how much you understand and how much you know from the whole document. Because divine healing and divine health is the portion of the believer. God wants the believer to be healthy. That's why Jesus Christ, you know, his stripes gave us healing. He said, by his stripes, you were healed on the cross. They laid 39 stripes at his back. And people have told us, scientists have told us that there are 39 major branches of sickness. 39 major branches. So he took all the 39 major branches of sickness at his back. That is why healing is the children's bread. So if you're a believer, you have a right to be healed. You don't beg God for healing. You don't beg God for healing. Healing is bread. If you have children, do they have to beg you for bread? I mean, bread means common food. It is only in poor countries where they'll buy bread. You know, like third world countries where they'll buy bread and put the bread in a fridge and put padlock so that the children cannot have access to the bread. But go to rich countries. Bread is staple food. Bread is common food that you can always have. And he says that healing is the children's bread. Jesus Christ was going somewhere and he saw this Syrophoenician woman who was a Gentile. Her daughter was sick. In fact, she was tormented by demons and she was sick. And she was begging Jesus to heal her daughter. And Jesus said that it is not good to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. In the Bible, the Gentiles were called dogs. And the woman said, oh yes, Lord, but even the dogs, they eat from the crumbs, the pieces that fall from the table of their master. And Jesus said, if you have accepted that you were a dog and you eat from the crumbs, then get the crumbs. Now, you are not a dog. You are a child. So you don't eat the crumbs. You have access to the main thing, the bread. So healing is the children's bread. That is why you have every right to healing. You don't beg God to heal you. He has already healed you. You only get to know of your healing and believe it and live it. You don't beg God for healing. There are certain things that God has given us. We don't have to beg God. It makes it look like God is a wicked God. One of them is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is part of the riches. We don't beg for Him. We don't beg God for the Holy Ghost. Oh, please, give me the Holy Spirit. I beg you. Oh, God, I beg you, please. Oh, that. No. We thank him for the Holy Spirit. And we receive him. No begging. Because he has already been given to us. The moment you start begging God for the Holy Spirit, you are trying to say that God is a wicked God. And look through the Bible, there is not a single place where we say somebody prayed and God gave them the Holy Ghost. No. And they received the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he had already been given out in the upper room. Now God is not giving the Holy Ghost again. When you pray for the Holy Ghost, he's not coming from heaven. He's on earth now. God has given him to the earth. So he's just around the corner. You just receive him. So strength is part of our heritage. It is in our daddy's will document, strength. That is why the people of the Old Testament, the Israelites, they walked in the wilderness for 40 years. Bible says even their feet did not swell. Their feet for 40 years, God kept them healthy for 40 years. That was even in the Old Covenant, which was like based on conditions. If you do this, I will do that. He said, you shall serve the Lord your God, and I will bless your water and your bread, and I will take sickness away from you. It was preconditioned. If you do this, I will heal you. He said, I am the Lord who healeth thee. Now, in the New Testament, it is not based on condition. It is a will document. That has been, your name is in the will document. So, you need to take your will document and say, look, devil, by his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. I'm not taking no for an answer. I am healed by his stripes. I don't care what you put on me. I'm healed by his stripes. I don't care the symptoms. These are symptoms. This is not the real thing. The real thing was taken away 2,000 years ago. And I'm healed. If you know this, you will always be healthy. When sickness is coming, you take the document and say, look, this is a no-go area. No-go area. Why? Because you know what is written in the document. When I got to know this in the year 2000, now it is getting to 16 years now, you will never hear that I'm sick. 16 years now, you will never hear that, oh, he's sick. I've never been to the hospital. 16 years. Never been injected. 16 years. Never been injected. Never been to the hospital. Yes, 16 years. Some have even worked in it for more than 40 years. Because somebody asked me a question. He said, Joe, do you know that sickness is a choice? I said, yes, I know. Because I know that if you expose your body to mosquitoes, you will get malaria. He said, no, I'm talking about the fact that Jesus Christ came, and so you don't need to be sick. I said, what do you mean? Elisha died through sickness. Then he gave me a book. I read it. Another book, I read it. As I was reading those books by E.W. Kenyon, something just entered my spirit, and I just concluded that I cannot be sick. It was just a conclusion. I remember those days, sometimes the feverish conditions will come. And I'll just say, devil, this is just a symptom. The root was taken away. Then strength will come. Because his body was broken for our healing. So that we, our bodies, can receive strength. If you are sick tonight, you must make up your mind that you are not going to allow the devil to cheat you. Now, does it mean that you cannot fall sick? Now, if you fall sick, it doesn't mean that you have sinned. If you fall sick, that's why we have healing anointings in the body, gifts of healings in the body. Or maybe people who fall sick. And when we pray for you, that you, that you must even receive it faster. Sometimes, when there is a contagious disease, I just get up and declare, this thing will not come to my house. You will see the thing hitting everybody, then it will skip. Yes. Because I know it is in the document, and I won't allow you to cheat me on that. It is my right. Because he said, no evil shall befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. Whether it is whatever, it cannot come nigh my dwelling. Because what is in the document is true. So strength is your portion. Now, not only for you, you can also receive it for others. You see, God is a father who gives abundantly. Bible says he gives lavishly. So you can receive strength. I can go and receive some for your friend. Daddy, this is my friend. You know how children behave. Children, when you want to buy something for them, say, oh, this is my friend. Buy something for my friend too. They believe that you have more money. So they think you can take care of your friend. That is how God wants us to behave. So you can go to God on behalf of your family, of your father, your mother, your siblings who are sick. And say, I'm taking my portion in the will document to cover them. Healing is your right. It is not a privilege. It is your right. It is a free gift. It's not a privilege. We don't beg God for healing. We don't beg God for healing. You see, God is not a wicked God. We don't beg him for. God has already done. There are many things. He has already done them. So when we beg them, we make him a wicked father. Somebody must change the way you see God. God is not like your father. It's not like our fathers. Because your father is a human being. He can make mistakes. But your heavenly father, that's why we call him heavenly father. Maybe your earthly father was somebody who was what we call standoffish, like keeps you at a distance. Or maybe he was never really there for you. But your heavenly father is always there for you. He's always there for you. His bedroom door is always open. Daddy's bedroom door is always open. He never shuts the door. So you can go to him anytime. You see, the way you see God it will determine what you get from God. That is why the prodigal son was able to get more from the father than the one who was so strict and so holy and so obedient. Many believers are holy, but they don't enjoy God's blessing because they don't dare to go for it. Look at the prodigal son. When he was going, he said, give me the portion of good that followed to me. He took the portion of good, went outside and blew it. Then when he came to his son, he said, let me go to daddy. But now he has gotten more property. But now I know this man. Now he has made more investment. Let me go and get that one too. Meanwhile, the elder brother who had been serving the father, when he came, the brother was in the field with a servant. He had a servant mentality that I'm always serving. I was telling somebody yesterday, I said, look, I told him that God doesn't want it when we are so busy even with his work that we can't even enjoy life. He doesn't want it. There are many people, they are so big, God has blessed them, but they can't even enjoy the blessing. They are so busy with God, they can't even enjoy the blessing. Some of them die because they are so busy working hard. One man of God went to heaven. Then he met Kenneth Hagin. Then he said, Papa Hagin, how can I do the work of God, the work of ministry? How can I really work hard in the ministry? Then he said, relax. Learn to enjoy life. Rest. Observe nature. Admire creation. He said, most of you don't enjoy what God has even given you. He said, relax. Relax. You see, God is not a wicked God. He's a loving Father. Bible said, He gives without upbraiding, without reproach. In other words, when He gives you something and you are going for another thing, you will not say, "Where is the one I gave you?" He gives lavishly. I want you to change your perception about God and begin to see God in the proper light, because the God, our Father above, is different from our Father below. Different. Don't use your Father here to compare God. That is why sometimes we can't receive from God. You see some people, they are receiving from God because they've embraced Him as their Father. Look at children. Children don't care. They don't care. I mean, they don't. Once my daughter asked me, the youngest, she said, I should buy her something. I think it was a bicycle or something. And I said, oh, I don't have the money. Then she said, you are lying. You have money. You have money. Then she went, she pulled a small something in the car. Then she took a coin. She said, I said, no, this money. Here's money. You have money. As far as she's concerned, I must be able to buy her whatever she wants. Because she believes I have money. I remember when I was teaching children, I took money. Then one of them said, Sadi, my movie bri or the top of truth. Oh, baby, or the top of truth. So that is how God wants us to see Him as a Father. Don't see God as a master. See Him as a Father. And you can relate to God as a Father, and God will fulfill your unmet needs. We all have unmet needs. As we are growing up, there are certain needs that were never met by our earthly parents. And in fact, they couldn't have met those needs, because those needs can only be met properly by God. The need for significance, affirmation, affection, validation, all those things are given by God. There are people who have a contorted image of God because they see God through their earthly father. That is wrong. See God through the word. What the word says He is, that is what He is. Hallelujah. So strength is given to us. How many of you receive strength? Receive strength into your body. Hallelujah. Okay, now I'm ending. Honor, glory, blessing. Honor. Honor means honor. Honor means promotion. Honor means exaltation. Honor means upliftment. Honor means elevation. Honor means prominence. Honor means greatness. Honor means influence. Honor. There is something like she was saying, that people now see her and they can't even talk to her anyhow. That is honor. God has honored you. So He has given us honor. So there is no reason for us. You know, the reason why sometimes people look down on us, because we look down on ourselves. We look down on ourselves. We ourselves, we don't think we are worth anything. So they also see us as we are thinking about ourselves. He said, we were like grasshoppers, and that is how they also saw us as grasshoppers. How did they know what they were thinking about them? Because they were thinking they were grasshoppers, and so they thought that people thought they were grasshoppers. Get rid of grasshopper mentality. And know that God has placed honor on you. There is no room for pride. This is knowing who you are. God has placed honor on you. That you are worth something. You are worth the very life of God. You are not cheap. Do you know your price? Your price is God's life. You are not cheap. Not cheap at all. Never allow any human being to look down on you and to bring you down because of what you have or you don't have. Because of what you look like or don't look like. Nobody has that right. Because when God puts honor on you, God elevates. You see, he said he has made us to sit together with Christ in heavenly places. Heavenly places. The demons are in high places. We are in heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and dominion and every name that is named. Far above. Far above. Far above. Far above. We must have a far above mentality. Far above. Not this kind of grasshopper mentality where, as a Christian, you can't even lift your head. And you always bow your head. I'm just a grasshopper. I'm not worthy. I don't deserve. I don't deserve. When God is even blessing you, say, I don't deserve. Oh, this is too much. I don't deserve. I'm not saying that we are going to be proud. What I'm saying, you see, humility. Let me define humility for you. Some of you think that humility is thinking less of yourself. No. Humility is thinking of yourself less. Not thinking less of yourself. Let me explain. Thinking of yourself less. Meaning that humility is when you are not self-centered. Not thinking less of yourself. In fact, the word humility comes from the word humus, which means earth. So, humility means down to earth. Meaning, you are putting yourself at the very place that you are. That is humility. That's humility. If Asantehene says that he is a king, he's not being proud. Is he proud? He's not being proud. He's a king. He has been enthroned as a king. That is not pride. Pride is when you are. So, you know, that grasshopper mentality must go, and then you must see yourself as somebody that God has placed honor on. When you begin to see yourself like that, you will see that others will begin to see you as that. Never say that me, I'm nothing. Of course, without him, we are nothing. But with him, we are something. Never say me, I don't deserve any good thing. Oh, me there. What good thing do I deserve? I'm like filthy rags. I remember I was going to preach at a certain school. And the lady who introduced me, she said, "Yemon pa yemai, yemini pa na obeka sano." If say on the oye bola tutun trebi keke. So when I finished, I said, "Hey, come. Minja bola tutun trao." No. It's a mistake. Minja tutun tra, but minja bola tutun tra. I am not a tontra for the refuse. I am a tontra for God. How dare you tell me a ball as a children? Me a ball as a children. I know that I'm a vessel, but I'm not a vessel because you see, I'm a vessel unto honor. He has bestowed honor on us. God has honored you. Don't allow the devil or anybody to dishonor you. Now, it doesn't mean you go around telling people that, look, you guys, you have to be careful, you know. The way you talk to me, you have to be careful. You don't know me. No, that's not, you don't need to say it. Just think about it in your mind and they will see that you are different. They will see that there are certain things they can't even say when you are there. Bible says, honor God with the first fruits of your honor God with your substance and the first fruit of your increase. So honor means giving. God will honor you by also releasing things to you. Giving you favor. There are some favors that God can give you. It will blow people's mind. But you see, we need to have a mentality that attracts favor. Don't think everything in your life, you must get it through hard work. Expect some free things also. Don't think that you must work for everything. There are four ways of getting things. Number one is by stealing. Number two is by working for it. Number four, by inheriting it. Number four, somebody can give it to you as a gift. All these four ways, apart from the stealing one, all the other three ways, when you receive things, it is okay. It is okay for somebody to see you and say, I just like you. I want to pay all your fees. It's okay. It's okay for somebody to see you and say, look, I just like you. Take 10,000 Ghana cedis. It's okay. It is not below you. It is okay for somebody to see you and just like you and begin to do things that doesn't make sense. It's okay. I mean, look at Esther, who was from Israel, from Judah, and look at how she was married to a foreign king. I mean, it's okay. It's okay for you to be selected from among the few, to be treated specially. It's okay. Because God has crowned you with honor. It is okay for you to receive preferential treatment. It is okay. Never think it's not okay to receive things. There are some people, they can't even receive love. Because they think everything must be worked for. So they can't receive unconditional love. That somebody says, I love you. Are you sure? When we were on campus, there was this lady that, I don't know whether it was true, but it was a rumor that she had been so much disappointed that, you know, by guys. So one day, one guy said, look, I want to marry you. Then she said, Yembudia. He said, Yembudia Antusu. Because I've suffered too many disappointments. I don't want you to be another one. So, Yembudia Antusu, if to prove that you really love me, Yembudia. I mean, we must be able to receive. Don't be like Zacchaeus. You see, Zacchaeus thought that he had to receive things by climbing, you know, adding up and adding up and adding, because he was short. So he thought that you must get rich by saving. And saving is good. But you see, let me tell you something. Those who are rich in the world, very, very rich, there's a height of wealth that you get to that you must use something. Either God or Satan. There's a height of wealth. You can never get to a certain height if you don't use spiritual power. You must either use God's power or Satan's power. So there is such a thing as anointing for wealth. That is why there are some people, they have anointing for wealth. God has anointed them with wealth. And so they are just attract the wealth. And people sometimes want to put reason to and calculate their money and see the source of their income. You can never find the source of their income. And God has done that also for us. That God will anoint us with wealth to the extent that wherever you turn is money. If you cough, it becomes money. If you touch anything, it becomes gold. It is part of God's plan. And like I always say, that money will not be a problem. Oh yes, money will not be a problem. Oh, I mean, it will be a problem. You see, a time is coming there. Very soon, we are going to be sending people to school abroad. And it's not like we are going to send you and then every month. No, we'll pay your school fees fully. You'll be there, we'll call you. Look, you are going to Ukraine to go and do medicine. You are going to US to go and do this camp. When you go there, you go and start off a Christ there. They will pay your fees. Full payment for all the 3 years, plus allowance and accommodation. Somebody was telling me, he said, look, I will punish money. He said, I will punish money because money has punished me. So he said, I will punish money. I mean, God doesn't mind blessing us with things. By the way, you think you need money. It's not money you need. Maybe it's a house you need. Who told you that you have to buy a house? Somebody can dash you a house as a gift. Oh yeah, somebody can give you a car as a gift. Yeah. You see, when you are anointed with wealth, you attract things. You ask people who are like one of these men of God who are so rich, ask them how they came by. Yeah. They will not tell you how they came by their money. That's why people always suspect them. Because you can't know how the money comes. They can't tell you that, oh, I did this, I did that. No. They can't know. It is supernatural. It gets to a point, it is supernatural. People pay money into their account. They don't even know them. From all over the world, they are receiving money. They don't even know the people. Just pay money into your account. Somebody will go and tell the person, go and empty all your account. Go and give it to him. Then go and empty, give it to him. Then you walk from KHL to a worker. Okay. Now, what else? Glory. Glory and blessing. Glory is one of the things that is also very broad. Glory. I mean, glory, we can't talk about glory. This man, Pastor Andrew, was talking about some of the aspect of glory. I mean, it's too many. Too many. Glory also is so broad that, so when God says, I've given you glory, I mean, it's so broad. Glory is what God uses to affirm and to endorse what has been done in accordance with His instruction. A life that has been lived in accordance with divine specifications, it is endorsed by glory. So glory is God's signature. When God appends His signature on your life, is glory. Which means that He has signed a blank check. He has signed it. Glory. There's a point you get to where God signs a blank check for you. He says, ask me whatever you want, I will give you. Ask me, but at that point, He has trained your heart to know the right things to ask. And you say, now ask me whatever you want, I will give you. That is glory. Glory can stand for power. In John 2:11, Jesus Christ began to manifest his glory when he first turned water into wine. Glory can stand for wealth. Genesis 31, Laban's daughter said, Jacob has stolen our father's glory. It can stand for splendor, pomp, pageantry. It can stand for prominence. It can stand for authority, influence. I mean, he has given us all this. But more than that, glory means the full weight of God. The fullness of God. Like Pastor Andrew was talking about in the morning. That love is the way to the being filled with all the fullness of God. The full weight, the full nature of God. Glory. That our lives will be characterized by God. The perfume we use is God. It's like our imprint is God. When you touch something, God has touched it. When God glorifies your life, even the chair you sit on becomes anointed. Okay. That is when people can even take your picture, look at your picture like this, and they are healed. Yeah, that is glory. And glory, it overflows abundantly. People can sit on a chair you have sat on, you'll get pregnant. They are looking for babies for years. You didn't pray for them. They just sat on the chair you've sat on. Within 9 months, they are pregnant. I mean, when glory breaks forth, it's like God himself has broken out of you. That is when your everything. Let me see. One day, one businessman was going for a business seminar, and this man of God called Bishop Oyedepo was preaching, teaching at the business seminar, and the man prayed. They said, "Oh God, let his saliva just touch my tongue." Then he too didn't know the man's prayer, so he was preaching. Then he came and stood by the man. And he was shouting, maybe in the night, he says, then